quite the introduction. And I got to be real with you to start. This is, I know for many of you, relaxing on a sleepy Labor Day holiday, the end of the summer. I know for many of you, this is just maybe another day, but for yours truly, this is actually a goosebump moment. To hear that music come up, to have an opportunity to turn the microphone on and talk to you for the next 3 hours on the Jim Rome Show, coast to coast, CBS Sports Radio, CBSSportsRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 206, the radio.com app. It's a goosebump moment because I was a clone. I grew up on Jim Rome. I was a kid in high school that really didn't have designs on being a talk show host. I didn't really know how to get to this point, what I needed to do. But I had a love for it, I had a passion for it, and I was that kid. This is so embarrassing, but also just flattering for Jim Rome if he's listening. But he's probably not, because he's relaxing and he gets all the vacation time in the world, and he'd be the first to tell you that. I was the kid in high school, 16, 17 years old, driving around in a Toyota Corolla station wagon. And I would get out of school right after 2 o'clock Eastern time, and I would rush to my car and I would put on the last hour of the Jim Rome Show. And yeah, that was not necessarily my way of getting in with the in crowd. I wasn't the coolest kid. Most of my friends were listening to the 8 Mile soundtrack. And there I was in my car driving home listening to Jim Rome, you know, rip Eric Mangini. That was part of my formative years in sports talk. It's crazy as you get older, you know, you start to look back on things and the people that have had an influence on you. And Jim Rome is absolutely, he's in the Talk Radio Hall of Fame for a reason, was absolutely one of those guys for me. I never... with a capital, and I never get nervous to do shows anymore. I've done every show on the CBS Sports Radio Network up until this was the last one. This was the final hurdle for me to jump over. But last night was a restless night, and this morning I was even getting nervous thinking about what to do because, look, it's a big responsibility to fill in for Jim Rome. He's the gold standard in this business. And so... it's an absolute privilege and honor to be here with you over the next 3 hours on this Labor Day holiday. We have open phone lines this hour and in the 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific hour. You know the number. We'll use the New York number today. The XR4TI is off. We're out of New York. I'm out of Pittsburgh, but our producers are in New York today. 855-212-4CBS is that number, 855-212-4227. I'm available on Twitter, at the Pony Express. Pony, spelled P-O-N-I, like the last four letters of my last name. Express spelled like it is in the dictionary. Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, is going to join me at 1:20 today, 10:20 Pacific. I love Jeff. He gets it. He's one of these ex-athletes who understands that the sports betting market is exploding, sports betting getting legalized in a bunch of different states in time for football season. He's going to join us to talk about that. I'm really looking forward to getting his thoughts on some of the week one lines and also some of the overall kind of generally win-loss totals and season picks from him later in the show. The big story as I see it right now in the NFL is what we're seeing in the AFC East today. Brian Flores, the Dolphins coach, doesn't exactly turn the NFL on its ear by naming Ryan Fitzpatrick his starting quarterback, not rushing Tua into the starting lineup. And from WEEI in Boston, a Heritage Sports Talk radio station there, Cam Newton. I guess he's going to take Tom Brady's spot, doing radio shows in Boston once a week, saying this morning that it's a match made in heaven for Cam Newton and New England, that Bill Belichick, that decision by the Patriots to take a flyer on Cam Newton, the early returns there, Cam thinks it's a perfect fit. I think we're seeing it unfold, and we've watched it, I think, all offseason since Tom Brady made the decision after 20 years to head to Tampa. I think we've watched the national football media. I think we've watched the NFL fan gang up on the Patriots. I think there's a Patriot fatigue factor. I think people are sick of watching the Patriots win. And so here's their chance to finally take a couple of swings and take a couple of shots at them. I think there's a feeling right now that without Brady, the Patriots turn into a pedestrian team. You know, all this narrative about tanking for Trevor that was out there before Cam Newton was signed. The Patriots had more opt-outs than any team in the NFL because of the coronavirus. But I think the national football media and NFL fans are breaking this down with their hearts more than they are their heads. And I am convinced, and we'll find out on Sunday when the Patriots open with the Dolphins and Cam's under center, I am convinced that the Patriots will win the AFC East for the 12th consecutive season. I don't see them as a team that is ripe for failure, that it's now New England's time to get their comeuppance. I don't see that at all. I think the Patriots won't match last year's 12-win season, but they'll come awfully close. You know, one of the things that I think we need to remember, Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio, is that Tom Brady wasn't very good in New England last year. So as far as what level does Cam Newton need to get to? How does he need to perform in order for New England to hold off, to stave off Buffalo, and I guess to a lesser extent, the Dolphins and Jets? How does Cam Newton need to play in New England? Well, it's not like the bar was set that high by Brady last year. The Patriots went 12-4. Let's look at some objective ways of measuring Tom Brady's performance last year. In passer rating, Brady was 18th. That's the same as Jacoby Brissett, who lost his job to 68-year-old Philip Rivers this offseason. QBR, another way of measuring quarterbacks. I don't know the exact formula, but it's another tried-and-true way of breaking down and analyzing quarterback play. QBR for Tom Brady in 2019, he was 16th. Among NFL starting quarterbacks, that's the definition of average, and it was the same as Jameis Winston. If you look at Tom Brady, and it's not your eye test or not your preconceived feelings of him, the greatest quarterback of all time, six Super Bowl rings, if you look at a vacuum at how he performed in 2019, he was at the same level as two quarterbacks who lost their starting job this year, Jacoby Brissett and Jameis Winston. I think Cam Newton can get there. I think we've looked at Bill Belichick. He was jealous, and they got their butts kicked by him last year, and just really where the Patriots season took a turn for the worse. I think Belichick is jealous of what John Harbaugh has been able to do in Baltimore. Belichick came up on the option offense. His old man was at Navy for all those years. I think he has really a strong level of appreciation and respect for the way they play offensive football. Not that he's going to turn his NFL offense into a gimmick college offense, but you can't run read option. You can't do zone read stuff with a 42-year-old quarterback. And now he gets Cam Newton, who's been, you know, up to this point in his career, the most effective, not just for 1 year, but over the totality of his career, one of the best running backs in NFL, one of the best running quarterbacks in NFL history. Injuries have plagued Newton. We know he only played in two games last year. Before he gets hit by TJ Watt, suffers a shoulder injury, and from there he was a shell of himself. First eight games of 2018, Cam Newton completed 68% of his passes. So the idea that Newton is an inaccurate quarterback and won't fit in the Patriots' offense is completely ridiculous. It's a complete false narrative. When he was really cooking in 2018, when the Panthers started 6-2, he was dumping the ball off to Christian McCaffrey. He was making quick reads. What does Bill Belichick love to do? What did Tom Brady like to do? Get the ball out quickly. Guys like James White, poor man's Christian McCaffrey. One of the biggest questions going into 2020 is who will win the divorce, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? How will those teams, how will those all-time great NFL personalities perform this year? Now, I don't think New England will turn into one of the laughingstocks in football, and a big reason why is Cam Newton. There's a rush because I think people want to see good beat evil. They want to see the good guys finally win in the AFC East. They want to see the team that has their fans do, you know, body slams on tables in the parking lot and funnel beers and throw up all over themselves. They want to see the Bills win for once. They haven't won a playoff game since 1995. The Bills' problem is that they've got a quarterback. He's the most ironic player in the NFL. Josh Allen has the biggest arm among NFL quarterbacks, but he can't complete a throw more than 20 yards downfield. Go figure. He's Vince Young reincarnate. And that's not going anywhere. He's a Blake Bortles type. So the Bills will regress. They also lost Lorenzo Alexander, who was the heart and soul of their defensive unit, and Sean McDermott moved him all over the chessboard. But a lot of people that don't really study football don't like to point those things out. They just want to hope and pray that the Patriots fail this year. And look, I'm no Patriots fan by any stretch. You know, one of the greatest days of my life, I'm sharing now something personal about myself with you, Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome. And by the way, I do want to hear, we've got open phone lines right now at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think the Patriots will win another division title this year? Do you think Cam Newton and Bill Belichick will work in New England? 855-212-4227. One of the greatest days of my life, still to this day. I'm in my 30s. I found out last week that my wife is pregnant, which was a three-year ordeal. We had doctors tell us it was never going to happen. We might as well think of or try something else or make peace with it. Had that miracle happen to me last week. My three-year wedding anniversary is next week. So, good times. And yet, when the Giants beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, that still is one of the greatest days and greatest moments of my entire life. I think the Patriots are all-time cheaters. I think Bill Belichick will always have that blemish on his resume. I think that there's six championships, even though I've called Belichick the greatest coach and Brady the greatest quarterback. I think they're always going to have that besmirch them. I think that's always going to be part of their story in New England, the fact that they cheated to win those championships. Not all of them, but most of them. And yet I still think they'll win the division this year. If you think the Dolphins are any good, you're probably a Dolphins fan or you're sniffing glue. Ryan Fitzpatrick in his career, we know what he is at this point. He's an exciting quarterback because he can throw four touchdowns in a game. He's also a quarterback that makes you question if he should have taken up maybe law at Harvard, because he'll throw four or five interceptions just as easily. He's never been to the playoffs. To me, the Dolphins are an also-ran. The Jets aren't even trying to win. I mean, the Jets are a disaster. They've got one of the worst head coaches in the NFL with Adam Gase. Sam Darnold is in a no-win situation. Doesn't have any wide receivers who can make plays. Perriman's injured. Denzel Mims from Baylor's already banged up. They're stuck with Le'Veon Bell. They can't get out from under that contract. The guy didn't have a run over 20 yards last year, and they're paying him $13 million. It's one of the worst contracts in all of football. So I just think the Patriots will find a way to make it work. They have the best cornerbacks in the entire league. And if there's one thing I've come to accept as we've looked at the analytical age of sports, the NFL, where we have all kinds of a numbers evolution and new ways of looking at the game, I'd rather have a great secondary than a great pass rush. And with Gilmore and with the other corners there, good luck to AFC East quarterbacks who aren't that good in the first place, Darnold, Fitzpatrick, and Josh Allen. So I think everybody's hoping that there's a changing of the guard in the AFC East. I don't see it happening. I actually think that the Patriots are a dark horse to get to a Super Bowl. They're on my short list of teams who I think can knock off Kansas City. We haven't had back-to-back Super Bowl champions since the Patriots did it in the early 2000s. The consensus pick, the heavy favorite in Vegas, is Kansas City. But if a team's going to get them, I think it can be the Patriots. Bill Belichick loves quarterbacks that can get him in manageable down and distance situations.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Cam Newton on WEEI in Boston today. Match made in heaven with Belichick. A one-year marriage. Can you call it a marriage at that point? More like a fling. But I think it'll be a successful one. Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome, coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Jeff Schwartz going to join me in an hour. I want to know where you come down on the Patriots if you think the Belichick-Cam Newton connection will work. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The eccentric personality and dress that comes with Cam Newton. The Patriots are not really a look-at-us organization. They put winning first. That's all that matters. The style points and the celebrity that comes with winning, they're not into that. They try to tamp that down and put a muzzle on that. But it seems like to me Cam Newton's buying in. And why wouldn't he? I mean, he's not making much money this year. It's a $1 million deal, plus it's all incentives. The most he can make is $8 million. I mean, he's an all-time bargain. The guy's making less money than some of the backups in the NFL. We're talking about journeyman backups that are making more money than him this year. So it's really a crossroads for his career. It's put up or shut up time. You heard in that clip, if you were paying attention, he said, I've won at every level. That's true. National championship at Auburn. He was 1-for-1 there. Gets Carolina to a Super Bowl. He's got a winning pedigree. So it's not like Belichick has taken a flyer on a guy who's big on potential, big on talent, but is never able to put it together. The Patriots are a sneaky team. I know if you're into fantasy football, that's your thing, and I'm not, in any way criticizing you or castigating, the people that are diehard fantasy football fans. I'm one of them. But you got to separate fantasy from reality. And when you look at the Patriots, it's easy to see their lack of playmakers, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and think they're going to stink this year. Who's going to catch the ball? Yeah, I trust Belichick to figure it out. The man has invested for this year $25 million in guards. Left guard and right guard. They got their center back, Dave Andrews, who was injured last year. They are built up the middle. They are built, I think, to run it with not only guys like Sony Michel and James White, but the quarterback, Cam Newton. And I would be very surprised if at the end of this year we're looking at Tom Brady, cackling in Tampa, getting the last laugh on Belichick, leading the Buccaneers to a double-digit win season, while Belichick, cries into his hooded sweatshirt. I would be shocked if that happened. I think both will show independently that they're the best to ever do it. Brady will catch on quickly in Tampa. I'm convinced of that. And I think, are you going to take, in that division, are you going to take Adam Gase? No. Never won as a head coach in the league. You're going to take a Belichick protege, apprentice, in Brian Flores? I mean, how often have the Belichick lieutenants worked out as head coaches? How many of them? Who? Bill O'Brien, to some extent. He's won a couple of division titles in Houston. Who else do you like? Vrabel, I guess now. Beat him, gave him a piece of his own medicine in the wild card round last year. More failures than successes. And with the Bills, to me, it's still a matter of, I got to see it to believe it. Until it actually happens, there's no way I'm going to take them to win double-digit games. If you needed one game, if you needed a quarterback to win one game this Sunday, would you rather have Cam Newton or Josh Allen? Quarterback-driven league, I hear the analysts and the talking heads tell me that ad infinitum over and over and over and over again. And if we're ranking the quarterbacks in the AFC East, the guy that's won an MVP award and been to a Super Bowl is coming out number one for me. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to tweet me, you can, at CBS Sports Radio. For us, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Got the U.S. Open on right now. Serena Williams looking for a 24th title, which just absolutely boggles the mind. She is, if there is a conversation about the greatest individual athletes in the history of sport, she has to be on the Mount Rushmore in the conversation, if not first, then very close to that. And I'm watching her, but at the same time, thinking about what a bizarre scene it was there yesterday where Novak Djokovic got disqualified, default is what they call it in tennis, for, out of frustration, swinging and hitting one of the, for lack of a better term, ball girls or ball boys in the throat with a kind of frustrating shot. Total accident, total mistake. There was no malice or any kind of ill intent there. And the clear-cut favorite to win this thing gets kicked out of the tournament for it, which, you know, it's wild to me that a sport that has had, I think, some of its biggest stars and some of its best moments have been authored by these high-strung, loud, bombastic, wild personalities like John McEnroe, and yet Andre Agassi. And yet, like, one little minor miscue where you don't even, out of anger, try to hurt somebody or injure someone, that gets you kicked out of the tournament and throws the entire tournament into a state of disarray and has the field now made up of people that even, I think, the most diehard tennis fans would have no idea who they are or what they are. It's just a very weird thing happening at the U.S. Open. Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome. I said off the top, this is kind of a surreal one for me, getting a chance to host the show on this Labor Day holiday. I made my bones, I remember, when I first broke into the industry back in 2008 out of college. My first stop was WGR 550 in Buffalo, which for a long time was a huge Jim Rome affiliate. And they would come on the air before I would start my day every day. And at no point when I was just cutting up Dick Geron sound did I ever think that I would actually get a chance to host the show. So it is a pinch myself moment, and I appreciate everybody finding me wherever you are. CBSSportsRadio.com, the radio.com app, the CBS Sports app. You could tell Alexa when you're home to play CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, really sharp guy, smart dude. He gets the sports betting angle to the NFL week one and some of the season-long bets that I'm really into. He's going to stop by. Coming up, though, I want to talk about Jadeveon Clowney signing with Tennessee in the 11th hour. And if the Titans can repeat what they did last year, who are some of the teams to watch? Who are some of the teams that are due to regress in 2020? 855-212-4CBS is the number. We've got the LA crew is off today. We don't have the XR4TI. We've got our producers back in New York, and that includes one of the best sports update anchors in the entire business. Chris Lopresti is standing by to catch you up on what happened in the NBA last night, what's going on in Major League Baseball later this morning and afternoon. So let's head over to him right now. Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome. Here's Chris Lopresti with the latest sports update. And when you think O'Reilly Auto Parts, we want you to think about them for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Andrew Filippone, you can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Shout out to those listening today on Sirius XM channel 206. 3 days away from Texans and Chiefs. And I think the most disrespected team in the NFL right now, saw this morning when I was flipping around, discussion of who will win the AFC South, which is not exactly the sexiest or most glamorous division to talk about. No mention of the Texans. Titans get Jadeveon Clowney, pairs Mike Vrabel, who was a linebackers coach in Houston when Clowney was the first pick there. It puts those two guys back together. And now Clowney, tail between his legs, fires his agent, has to sign a prove-it one-year deal in Tennessee. Third team in 3 years. Titans and Colts keep coming up as the two favorites to win that division. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think there is, for whatever reason, it's incredible to me how much national football media, how much national football analysts lean on what happened last year. The NFL, where half the teams that make that made the playoffs the year before miss out the very next year. You have at least one last place team make the playoffs, win a division every season. It's incredible to me how many take how the 2019 season ended and just assume that we're going to get a carbon copy of that again this year. The Titans, who I think are the biggest fraud in the entire AFC, and I don't have any kind of axe to grind or agenda with Nashville. I've actually never been there, which is probably on my bucket list of things to do once the pandemic is over. To me, they made one of the biggest follies in all of pro football last year when they decided that based on a second half freak show, completely out of body experience, when they, based off of that, made up their minds to give Ryan Tannehill franchise quarterback money. And it's not 12 years like Mahomes, and it's not like Deshaun Watson's $39 million a year, but come on. I mean, the entire body of work going into last year told you that Ryan Tannehill was a average quarterback. The guy for his entire career, he's 31 years old now, is 500. So what do you think is a more accurate reading of Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback? What he's accomplished, what he's done for the first 7 years of his career, or what he did in the second half of last season? Yeah, I think Houston is way under the radar. And there's a lot of hype surrounding Phillip Rivers going to the Colts. If he couldn't get it done last year with weapons like Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, and to a lesser extent Melvin Gordon and Mike Williams, what is he going to do in Indianapolis with a dinged up T.Y. Hilton, rookies at running back and wide receiver? Their offensive line in Indianapolis was the healthiest in all of football last year. They did not miss a start from an offensive lineman, and already they've got a couple of guys who will be on the injury report in week one. How often do we see a quarterback in his late 30s flip the switch, go from looking like a guy who was, I think, you know, Eli Manning's twin brother, making boneheaded plays and making decisions where he is trying to fit the football into a teacup like he did in his mid-20s. You know, Rivers in his mind can still make plays like he did when he was 25. And he does not strike me, Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio. Phillip Rivers does not strike me as a guy that is going to have this great awakening, epiphany moment in Indianapolis now, where it occurs to him, you know what, maybe I should just take the most efficient play and the smart play, you know, take a page out of Tom Brady's book and, you know, take what the defense is giving me. I don't see him. Nothing about his personality or his attitude makes me believe that Phillip Rivers is going to dial it down or tone it back in 2020. He is historically one of the slowest starters in the entire history of the NFL. His Septembers, if you go back over the last 4 or 5 years, Phillip Rivers, most of my football watching Septembers have been spent watching the CBS affiliate in town switch over to the last 4 minutes of a Chargers game, and Phillip Rivers is frantically trying to make up a 9-point deficit with no timeouts. And he's screaming, of course, without obscenities because he doesn't curse at his you know, players, giving them the play, and just completely trying to pull a rabbit out of his hat in the last 3 minutes of every game. Onside kick. I mean, that to me is the Chargers in a nutshell, and it has been. It always seems like they put themselves behind the eight ball, and they've got to kind of scatter, helter-skelter their way to 9-7 or 10-6 to make the playoffs. What I don't get about the Texans is you have, by my just my own personal opinion, you have at worst the fifth best quarterback in the entire NFL. And so what are the odds that one of the very best quarterbacks in the league is going to finish second or third behind a quarterback who I think is ready to coach a high school football team somewhere, a quarterback that is 500 for his career? The Titans have a running back that, okay, Derrick Henry, you could say, carried them all the way to the AFC Championship game last year, but I don't know many running backs who get better with age, 27 years old now, especially when their whole style of running is to invite contact. Derrick Henry doesn't know, let's run out of bounds and save myself for the next play. He's not one of those types. Earl Campbell did not have 1,000-yard, he had 1,000-yard season after his 25th birthday. That's how Derrick Henry plays the game. Defenses don't take Tannehill seriously. Tennessee had saw more 8-man boxes last year than any team in the entire NFL. Yet Houston, they're almost a double-digit underdog in week one against Kansas City. Everybody is writing them off. I don't see many picking them to make the playoffs outside of Houston. They've got the best quarterback by far in the division. J.J. Watt is starting the year healthy. Now, I don't know if he finishes the year that way. We're talking about a four-time Defensive Player of the Year award winner, the most accomplished pass rusher, defensive player, however you want to put it, since Lawrence Taylor in the NFL. And they get absolutely no love. And it's because Bill O'Brien is a horrible general manager. We get that. The trades he makes, he is in this desperation mode where he treats the next NFL season like it's the last. And if that means giving away all his draft picks to try to give himself the best chance to win right now, he does it. And he's got no one to answer to, which is the problem. The DeAndre Hopkins thing and the rumors that came out about his relationship with Hopkins that fueled the trade didn't help O'Brien's standing or the way he's looked upon by outsiders at all whatsoever. But you know what? They got Brandon Cooks. If Will Fuller could ever stay healthy, which I'm not counting on, Kenny Stills is a big playmaker. I don't know. To me, we see this happen in the NFL a lot. The teams that have the biggest moves in the offseason tend to get rushed to the top of the standings. And the Clowney last-second thing, I believe, will inspire a lot of people in my line of work, in my business, to tell you that Tennessee is going to somehow duplicate or replicate what they did last year. And I'm a betting man. I'm somebody that likes to put his money where his mouth is. One of the things that I am going to hammer at the start of the year is Tennessee in Denver on that first Monday night. I'm going to take the Broncos all day. And I think we're going to watch the Titans slip back to like 6-10, 7-9, completely regret the decision to give Tannehill a $100 million deal this offseason. Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome. I think the Texans are the most disrespected team in the NFL. Who do you think? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. The Chiefs trying to do something that we haven't seen done in now going on almost a decade and a half in the NFL. Let's go back-to-back as champions. I think they're going to win. Let me put it this way. I don't think going 15-1 or 16-0 is out of the question for them. Drafting a running back in the first round is like verboten and completely shunned by the NFL cognoscenti, like the people that like to tell you that they're smarter than you and know more about football. But to me, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the perfect fit for what they needed. And when you've got an embarrassment of riches and somehow you're able to manipulate the salary cap in a way where you're, for whatever reason, you're giving a quarterback almost $50 million a year and you're still able to keep all of the supporting cast, you're able to keep Travis Kelce around, you're able to pay Tyreek Hill, more than any wide receiver except Julio Jones when you're able to make those moves. And Damian Williams opts out. Now, they had no way of knowing this back in April. I don't see many holes. Their offensive line, I guess, is a little sketchy because they had one guy that opted out. But they're in an easy division. They're in a very favorable division. I think it's easier to make the argument against the other three teams in the AFC West missing the playoffs than it is predicting them to make it. Chargers, Raiders, Broncos. So where are the hiccups for Kansas City? They play the NFC South, so you're getting two, maybe three good quarterbacks there. Brady and Breeze, obviously. We'll see what Matt Ryan can do. You know, the Falcons are another one of these offseason darlings. Every year, people get kind of snookered into taking them. They got hot in the second half when their coach was on the hottest seat possible. They saved Dan Quinn's job. They beat the 49ers. They beat the Saints. They kept him employed. But their defense is made up of no names, and they got a shot in the arm when Quinn gave himself less responsibility, which is not exactly a ringing endorsement. If I were his owner and the answer is I'll do less in order for us to win, that would be a clear sign to me that you're probably not cut out to do this job. So where are the Chiefs' hiccups? They got to play Baltimore again. Maybe there. But I'll tell you later in the show that the Ravens aren't exactly my favorite team for 2020 either. It takes some serious stones, even though they're the favorite. It takes a lot of guts to pick the Chiefs to win to win back-to-back championships because we never see it happen. But now that Andy Reid has won the big one, they had the continuity on the coaching staff, which you like too in this weird year. If they had lost Eric Bieniemy, if a team was smart and had hired him to be a head coach, all right, even though you know Andy Reid has full autonomy and is really the ultimate voice of that offense, okay, even a little bit of change might not rattle, but throw the Chiefs off. That didn't happen. You know, they are, to me, as formidable. Not every year do you see a champion keep the players that matter around. The Patriots win a Super Bowl, Rob Gronkowski retires. I mean, that to me is a hole that they never filled. They had 39-year-old Benjamin Watson at tight end last year in New England. They had a guy who ended up leading them in tight end receiving yards who finished with under 200 yards. So it's tough. But if there was a team on paper that I would, you know, seriously consider to do it, it would be the Chiefs. You got NFL players all over the league openly wondering how a team is able to spend so much money in one offseason and yet they are comfortably under the cap. I can't figure that one out. But with Reed now, you don't worry about him gagging and suffering from awful clock management in games. Like, even the slow starts didn't come back to bite them in playoff games last year. It's hard to pick against Kansas City, but the percentages in history would tell you that it probably won't be their year. 855-212-4227. Andrew Filippone in for Jim Rome. Coming up next hour, the Lakers even up the series against Houston. I don't think it's cause for celebration. Not somebody, you see it on TV plenty. If you're watching the cable sports networks, I'm not someone who looks at last night's victory as some turning point or rounding of the corner for them. And I actually think in an 8-point win, there's more cause for concern for the Lakers than there is anything else. And I'd love for you to join in on that conversation with me next hour at 855-212-4227. We're also going to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. He's about as good as it gets when it comes to handicapping the NFL. I like former players who get that there are other interests in the game, monetary interests, big money interests, people that watch because they want to put a little extra bread in their pocket. He gets it. He's going to break it down with us across the CBS Sports Radio Network. It is an absolute delight and pleasure to be with you on this Labor Day. I'm Andrew Filippone, in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.